I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Moncrief on News Talk.
My next guests are in studio with me. Heineken Ireland have launched their new music platform, Heineken Greenlight, bringing city gigs across Ireland for the bank holiday weekends. And joining me now is Elijah Houston, Robert Keating, Josh Jenkinson and Ryan McMahon of Irish rock band Inhaler, who will be bringing Heineken Greenlight to where else? Cork City. Hello, guys.
Hello.
How are you?
All good stories start at the beginning. I want to know how ye came about, how ye started playing music together.
You take that one.
I think in a natural way, we started playing together as friends, and then three of us did, and then we found Josh, and we turned things up a gear.
Josh
we
decided to help us out.
Scraped through a leaving cert, and then we just gave it a good shot, thanks to a Mullingar band, The Academic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay,
that's
stunning.
A very quick summary.
That's a very quick summary, okay, that's the short version of a long story.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the music like in your households growing up, and did that very much inform what Inhaler are doing now?
Michael Jackson, so no.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you've got the pop sensibilities. I think a lot of people can argue.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, a lot of Michael Jackson. Anything else?
Yeah, it was very varied for all of us, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I had a lot of hip hop.
Okay.
And I'm assuming the other lads didn't maybe have as much hip hop as me.
Okay. So when are we getting when are we getting the Inhaler hip hop record then?
Oh, who knows?
2036.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. Yeah.
I want to talk about the support acts that you've been the support act to so many great acts over the years. Blossoms, Arctic Monkeys. Did I read Roger Daltrey at one point?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
I don't remember.
There's a laugh, so that's a good story.
No, yeah, it was very randomly. It was that Omaha gig.
Omaha.
Yeah, Omaha. Gig.
Omaha, okay.
Yeah.
We did a lot of touring in the States, and we were asked to do this gig over there, and he was headlining. It's like a festival sort of thing for the local town, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, man, he's really cool.
Yeah.
Mm. He still sings like a bird as well. He's like 80. I don't want to do him.
No, I think you're dead right. I think
Yeah.
I think we can give the age of men on air. I think that's only right.
Okay.
still swinging the microphone and everything.
Yeah. Did
Legend.
He have any pearls of wisdom for you?
Oh, yeah. A lot of Gatorade and electrolytes, apparently. Yeah.
Electrolytes.
And rock and roll. Yeah.
And chucking your t-shirt in the fridge so that after the show, it'll be nice and cool.
Okay, that is good advice.
It is good
advice.
That's
sensible.
Yeah.
Do you have a standout moment from the road? Hard one, I know.
There's a good few. I mean, we've been very lucky. So, I would say June St. Anne's Park last year was pretty. Like,
is that the biggest gig you've ever done, separate to Slane, which we'll talk about, of course?
Mm. Oh, that was great.
That probably was the biggest. Yeah, biggest headline for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. But anything specific? What stands out for you about those gigs?
I think being able to spot my friends, even though there's like loads of people in the crowd, I can still see. You know, people that I invite along.
Gut wrenching, yeah.
Yeah, that's the scariest.
How do you keep it together on stage then when you see those people and see, you know.
You can't.
It's the culmination of all this work and you're seeing people you love in the crowd.
Yeah, and they just know you're faking it.
you walk out trying to be all swaggery and cool and then you spot them and know that they're judging you in the biggest way.
They're like, look at this spoof on stage.
You wouldn't trade it for anything. Like it's.
They're thinking, what's with the boots?
We haven't left Ireland since we started the band and I think.
Yeah, it's very grounding.
Nice. It's nice to come back to and just people are just like, I know you're not what you think you are.
Yeah. We all need to come back and be humbled, okay?
Yeah, I think that's one of the beautiful things about the country.
Yeah. You know the way Irish artists, even artists generally, they come to Ireland and they play and they go, well, you're the best crowds ever, we love you. Mm. You've talked about touring the US extensively, like, what is it about us? Stunning. Do you see a marked difference between the US crowds and us, or what kind of separates us?
I would say I think it's a physical barrier more than anything.
Yeah.
you know.
They don't like mosh pits in America.
They're like, they don't personal like space.
They're afraid of getting
to
stuck
the point
in.
Where they'll stop them.
Well, they don't like moshes at our gigs. In
yeah, at our gigs.
Anyway.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, if you do rap, then they forget about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to do with, I don't know. I think it's, what Eli said, it's a very physical reaction in here. And I think we share that, to be fair, with kind of like Glasgow and like the north of it. Kind of a lot of England is the same.
Yeah.
It's not just unique to our band, though. I think it's every, it's just it's a regional thing, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Tell me about being asked to open for Harry Styles in 2023. Like, does one of you have Harry Styles' number in your phone right
Harry.
Now?
No.
No.
No. Okay.
I do. Will we ring him?
Please.
I don't.
Oh my God.
I don't.
How did that come about?
That's a good question. I think we just got an email. One day from one of our managers saying
so rock and roll.
Yeah, we just got I know. We didn't meet him out in a bar or anything and hit it off. We just got an email one day being like, this offer has come through, do you want to do it? And we were like, you know, well, we're not idiots, we're not gonna say no to that, are we? And I think that was probably, well, for me anyway, I don't know about you, that was the most terrifying gig of my life, for sure. Never seen
the scale of it, or just
I remember we were walking to the stage and you could see just over the wall and see how far back everybody went. I just turned to our keyboard player, I was like, what are we doing, why are we doing this?
it's also the shape of the hill at Slane. Is you feel like the whole thing is gonna, everyone's gonna roll
on top of
it's amazing.
It's kind of
Oh, once in a lifetime, for sure, for sure.
Absolutely.
You obviously enjoyed supporting him and you enjoyed working with his collaborators, Kid Harpoon. Mm-hmm. I know you worked with him on Open Wide. What was that experience like, especially coming from, you know, you're a band, you're insular, you work together, you have a way of working, to bring in someone else then? How did that come about? And I suppose, how did it feel to kind of let someone else into the circle and kind of...
Well, we have a very strict interview policy.
Okay.
which is basically, they have to make us laugh. So, we were nervous about working with a different producer, I think, just off the bat anyway, because we'd worked with our longtime friend and manager, Anthony Genn, who's actually just done the Peaky Blinders soundtrack.
Shout out
amazing.
Him.
So he worked with us, and then we'd been doing that since we were 18, so we were like, I think we need to see if we can do this
away from dad.
Essentially, yeah.
Which he was kind of almost a father figure to us, because we were in there when we were really young. Like, I think Eli and I first went in with Ant, who did 18. The previous albums, when we were I think I was 17,
17 16,
you were 16.
Yeah.
No, it was we were still in school.
Oh wow.
So anyway, it felt like we had to kind of detach ourselves from him, and what ensued was meeting Kid Harpoon.
Was that scary, or was it, did it
definitely
feel a bit liberating as well?
Yeah, it felt liberating maybe while we were doing it, but I think like the lead up to it, we kind of felt like we had to straighten up a little bit and sharpen the tools.
How did you find what I think I read somewhere that Kid Harpoon was bringing in like Deftones kind of as on the mood board? And
yeah, look, you were saying the interviews now are so funny looking back because it sounds nothing like the Deftones.
No.
But that was on our minds a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that album specifically, White Pony.
So interesting. Is there anyone else on the hit list that you'd love to work with? I know you're just off the back of an album cycle, so it feels kind of cruel to be asking you this. I'd say leave us alone, please. But
No. Any ideas?
Who should you be working with? That's a great question. Any good pop producers that I could think of? See, it's interesting. Like, the Jack Antonoff is an interesting one, but he's very pop.
Yeah.
And, you know, could
been
he
there,
do,
done that.
Been there, done that. You said, no, we don't need Jack.
Yeah.
We don't need Jack. He's too big.
No, he's more so the full pop thing. Yeah, I think we're loving the idea of someone a little, maybe not as pop.
Yeah.
I think someone our age as well would
be
nice.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
Because, I don't know, just I feel like there's a lot of great music happening right now.
Yeah.
And it'd just be nice to kind of, I don't know, feel that.
Yeah.
More, you know.
Two Hollis is coming to mind as well, but he does a lot of his own stuff. But
yeah. He's a rapper now.
It's kind of like rap, electronic. Very. He had a very interesting album last year. I think he could kind of come together, a meeting of minds.
Maybe you will get the hip hop record soon from us.
Yeah, there we go.
You go. We have to talk about Bono, of course.
Yeah.
The Bono in the room.
Yeah,
how does it feel to be following in his dad's footsteps? I thought it was interesting to read about what you've kind of taken from him and what you haven't. Lung capacity being an interesting thing, and how you perform on stage.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, definitely.
That's genetic.
That. Can't help that.
yeah. I'm. Well, you can't, you smoke a fair bit. So yeah, you're trying to alter that one.
Yeah, he has that on me. Yeah. So yeah. I'm trying to bring it down to it. Sort of.
Yeah.
But
I'm presuming he came to the Slaying gig or was lurking.
He actually did
or?
Come to the Slaying okay. gig. Yeah. That was really funny. There's like fan footage of him walking through. You see that?
No, I've seen that.
It's embarrassing.
Of him actually coming to your gig.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
But,
so, I mean, it's hard to enter Slane. Like yeah. that. Incognito.
Incognito. Yeah. I think Bono, lose the glasses. Like, come on.
Keep telling him we're inside.
It was the cowboy hat that was the giveaway.
No. Yeah.
Even Jedward didn't get spotted as much.
Yeah. It's bad enough when you're less incognito than Jedward. Like, come on. Come on. I'll talk to him. But in all seriousness, is feedback something you would take from him? Or are you kind of like, okay, I want to work on this? Or how often are you bringing songs to him or bits of songs and going, what do you think? And he's going, thumbs up, thumbs down. Or are you like, Dad, you know what, it's actually all right, I'm working on this, it's all right.
I think in the beginning it was definitely a lot more like I was like, oh, I don't want to know.
Yeah, fair.
But you know, he's my dad at the end of the day, so I'm like, I'll play him something and usually he'll give me all the time he'll give me advice, but you don't have to take advice.
That's the great thing about advice, so, isn't it?
And I think especially being, if it was like a solo thing, then like it would be a lot more intense. But I think we're a band, you know what I mean? And the only thing that really matters is what we think. So if yeah. I'm coming in with like an angle, it's got to be adjudicated.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's three other people who have a say. I want to talk about the Cork gig. This is very intimate. How do the intimate gigs compare to the big gigs, bar obviously the obvious?
I don't know. I think we haven't... Well, first of all, we haven't played in Cork in like 3 years.
Okay. Yeah. So rude, but we're happy to have you really back, rude. I suppose.
Yeah. So I think the last like headline gig we did was...
The last headline was maybe about 4 years ago, and then we did Cypress Independence. Avenue, yeah, Cypress yeah, Avenue. And then we
great
did Independence in 2023, and it nearly didn't happen because there was a storm that
I
just
remember
blown
this, yeah, you the remember weather that? Was really bad.
And luckily
yeah.
we got to play, and I think that stands out as, I'm not just saying, one of the best festival moments, because it nearly didn't happen.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
What is this I hear about Slane also maybe not happening because of traffic? Did you have to get a guard
that,
escort?
Yeah.
You're like, could have been.
Yeah. Oh, no, we did, actually.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, yeah. We were stuck in traffic, you know, about 40 minutes out or something.
Okay.
And just luckily a guard pulled up beside us. And I think we said, is there any way of, you know, helping us out? And he goes, who are you? And we go, like, we're a band called Inhaler. And he's like, let me check. He looks at his phone. He goes, oh, my daughter loves you. Yeah, follow me. She's on the siren. So, you know, we got lucky.
That's probably the closest to feeling like rock stars that we've ever felt.
I was just about to ask, like, has there been a rock and roll moment that you're like, oh, okay, actually, this is cool and we're doing this?
That.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Hard to top a guard escort, you know?
No, yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's not right.
Yeah. Any pinch me moments? I know you've talked about looking out and seeing your friends, but has there kind of been anything else?
Glastonbury this year.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
So what's Glastonbury like?
I'm saying all these ones, but.
No, sure.
What's it like?
Yeah.
I don't
it's
know.
The greatest.
Can't remember. Yeah.
Are you alive? Are you conscious?
Yeah.
It's kind of like 10 electric picnics.
Okay.
Like pushed together.
You know the way everyone says it's like everyone should do Glastonbury before they die. Like, is that are people just saying that?
No, I think it's true.
It's yeah. True.
Obviously, it's a like privilege to be able to go.
Yeah.
But like, we got a lot of our mates in, so they were, you know, violin players and all that.
Mm.
And spent the whole weekend there, and
we're never gonna go again. We'll have to bring the orchestra this time.
Yeah,
and it was just, you know what I thought about it was just there was no, it felt like everybody was extremely present.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And there was just nothing else going on for those 3 days.
Yeah. No drama, no fights.
There was drama, to be fair, but we won't even get into it. It was a pretty dramatic event.
I know what you're talking about.
And that was part of our experience, was like, we went and saw like Kneecap. We saw a lot of Irish artists and it felt like we were part of something. And I think that is one thing Glastonbury seems to always have, is like, you were there when, you know?
Yeah. Communal.
I love EP, but I mix up the ears sometimes in my head.
Yeah.
But that might be my own fault.
Yeah.
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 Time, the relentless march of time, isn't that it? Mm-hmm. Open Wide, last year's album, you've called it this exploration of love. What have you learned about love?
That sounds hilarious.
Sounds corny, it must have been me.
I love it. Guys, sometimes it's nice to be corny. We need more corniness, we need more earnestness, we need more whimsy, that's what I said.
Maybe. What was the question?
What did you learn about love? Your whole time being an inhaler, what do you think you've learned about love from each other?
Man, it sounds like that it's a journey.
Yeah.
Which just, once again, I don't know why we said that.
There's no destination. It just keeps going.
Wow.
Sometimes it's ugly.
Sometimes
leads to something beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't know how to answer that. Yeah.
This is a therapy session.
We dead-ended ourselves.
Yeah. We've really dug ourselves a hole with that one.
Yeah. Can you tell we've not done an interview in a while?
Yeah, you need to brush up, guys. I'm glad I was the first. What's going on for the future then? What are you kind of hoping for? What's on the hit list?
Exploration of love.
You haven't explored enough.
No, I mean,
clearly.
Get me into the depths of the heart.
It's a lifelong task.
Truly.
New music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you working on that now?
We are.
Okay.
It's going well.
What can you tell me? Is
just
it a secret?
That we're enjoying ourselves.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And it's going.
It's happening, yeah.
Are we working with Kit Harpoon again, or are we still in two preliminary stages?
We haven't made any decisions.
We're working with ourselves, and you know what? It's been great.
Okay. Yeah, it's been great.
It's been beautiful.
Well, that all sounds great. Inhaler, thank you so much for chatting to me. You are kicking off the Heineken Greenlight, which is kicking off in Dublin over the May Bank Holiday weekend, presenting an eclectic lineup of over 35 acts across 10 venues in Dublin City. And tickets for the first Greenlight gigs go on sale tomorrow, Friday, 12:30 p.m. at Heineken Greenlight Ticket Office at number 3 Grafton Street and online at heinekengreenlight.ie. And your newest single is Holding the Ground, and I think we'll play it with it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.